So I work at our studio, and mostly what I want to accomplish with this talk is I want to give like a really broad overview of how to import data into R. Obviously, in 20 minutes, that's impossible. So, you know, but I can offer, you know, like if you want to send me a tweet or something, and if you have a very specific request on how would you import some specific data into R, like I'll be more than happy to follow up. And kind of like this really quick talk, like I'm dividing it into I'm dividing it on kind of like just importing importing data, and I'm hoping that, you know, for those new to R, which are probably very few of you because you're in this conference, but you know, kind of like a great reminder of, you know, how to import basic data into R, and also showcase a couple of new features on the RStudio RDE that should make your life easier. And then I want to jump into kind of like what it means to import modern data. And modern, you know, like it's a total term that I made up, but like I wanted to kind of like use these cues to look around which are interesting data sources that might be worth talking about. And, you know, like I'm going to talk a little bit about like getting data from services like Twitter, from Spark, which is a distributed file system, and as binary, kind of like it's interesting that we're coming back to binary file formats with things like Fedder. So I'll touch a little bit on that as well. I'm planning to do mostly demos, so I'm going to post the slides, but, you know, mostly going to be demos. All right, so I want to start with a, you know, quick overview of like how do you import tabular data into R. And for those, you have the packages that you already know and love, like ReadR, ReadXL, and Haven for statistical data. One of the features that is available on the RStudio preview version, so you know, if you wanted to use this helper dialogue, like you'll have to download the preview version from our website. But once you have it, you should see kind of like that we've modified the data import dropdown. And you have like a couple useful helpers, because we know that all of us, like we're importing CSV files all the time. So why not make that a little bit easier? And so here I'm gonna pick, I'm gonna pick a CSV file. And again, like we're not doing any, you know, like R magic, like we're still using the packages that we all know and love. Like in this case, we're using ReadCSV, but we're creating new UI where you can, you know, like get a preview of how your data looks like. You can modify some of the, you know, ReadR parameters, like, you know, changing the first row. So sometimes the CSV doesn't contain those things, you know, like bring it back and things like that. One of the things that I feel it's super helpful to have on this dialogue is that if you're familiar with ReadR, it supports a lot of parameters to parameterize your columns. And usually those are, you know, take a little bit of time to write. So what we've done is, you know, we've exposed those on a drop-down column on the, you know, per column. So you can say things like, you know, let's see something interesting. So for instance, this one, priority date is a character, is gonna be imported as a character column. That's probably not what you want. So you can just select date, give your formatting, and it will just change it, and you can, you know, like bring it back. Some of the other interesting things you can say, well, I only want to really include this column because, you know, like maybe, you know, like you don't care about the other columns because, you know, it's actually this data table is already pretty wide, so sometimes it makes sense just to import a subset of the data. And as you can see, like all that we're doing is basically just creating a ReadR, you know, parameterized function, where, you know, we would pass that for you instead of you having to go and construct this by hand. So, you know, you can also use the browse functionality to import directly from a URL, which it's handy. So, you know, like all the magic happens on the packages, but like hopefully this brings a little bit more of, you know, like help on our day-to-day import tasks. And similar, in a similar way, like if you're importing from Excel, very similar dialogue. So you can pick Excel file, XLS, and the dialogue looks very similar. In this case, you know, like you can also see the sheets, which, you know, helps a little bit when you have like a giant Excel file with a lot of like tabs. Like you can just pick the one you're actually interested in. In this case, for instance, you know, like you may want to do different things. Like, let's see, you may also want to say, hey, I really don't want this column because for whatever reason. So you have different functionality. As you can see, like the functionality is a little bit different than what you would see on read R, mostly because we're doing a one-one matching with the package. So whatever the package supports, that's what we're exporting in our UI. So here you have the Excel file. And one more, we can do, for instance, SPSS and get a sub file. So let's just try that really quick. And let's see, so we have a sub file here. We can open it, right? And we can also import it. So that was like a really quick just review of how it looks to import data from, data table. And I want to touch base on a couple, like other usual ways that we use to import data. One is the JSON-like package that you might be also familiar with. Again, very easy to use. We don't have a UI in the IDE for all the packages, obviously, but if you want to import JSON, just as a list, very easy way of just grabbing your data and bringing it in. Same for XML. In this case, we're using the XML2 package. And in the slides, that's what I was calling hierarchical data, right? Because there's a bit of a difference between JSON, like on a CSV file, where a JSON file, usually looks like a branch structure. You would find different data sources for, different types of data. This is one of my favorite ones, and I can probably do this all day, and I would be so happy if this was my day job. So, like sometimes we have information on the web, right? And let me see where I have. So I'm sure you've seen this file or this page at some point, which is just the list of current packages, right? And it's just a very simple web page, but it contains a lot of information. So one way that you can bring that data inside inside R is by using the RVest package. And the specific technique here is called web scraping. And it's also really, really easy. And basically the way that you would do it is you can point this to a URL and create a table out of that. Let's copy these things. So now we have a table, and from that table you can just say extract a table out of HTML once you found that particular element on the sources, and now you have like a full blown data table which you can use for analysis or mix and matching or whatever. Which I feel like this is really helpful because sometimes it's not a lot of data, but you just want like 20, 30 rows that are on the web, and this is just a great way to include them. I also want to mention briefly another concept that is pretty common, which is connecting to a database. I'm not going to, do all the examples, but I do want to mention the DBI package. It's just a great way to interface with relational data, right? And relational data usually lives on databases, therefore the name of relational database software. And again, it's pretty straightforward. There's different backends on DBI, so it's nice that you have like a symbol, the same interface to connect to a database. And the only thing that you need to worry on you're using DBI is making sure that you find the right driver, right? We call these drivers. And there's drivers for Oracle, Postgres, MySQL, and a bunch of them. The one that I'm going to use for this demo is SQLite, which is a really nice package because it's a self-contained database that it also saves as a single data file. So in this case, we have a database.sqlite file here. So again, it's a really simple database. So we're only touching the surface on this quick talk. But we're creating this connection to this SQLite database. And then we can say things like, hey, show me the list of tables that is here, which in this case, it's super simple. It only has one table called packages that with some data that I inserted before this talk, and once you have that connection to the table that you're interested in, you can just run a SQL query and get that data. So again, just kind of like a quick recap, I'm hoping that if you were not super familiar with these tools, someone can at least have the knowledge to go and find out more about them. And there's definitely a lot of resources. I'm not the author of these packages, but definitely if I can help and you want to write me a question, I'll be more than happy to help. All right, so the last polite thing to do, when you connect to a database is to disconnect. That's polite, because otherwise the database, ends up having resources that don't get freed, so, just the polite thing to do. All right, so that's it, and we're doing kind of like okay on time. And now I want to switch to the second part of this kind of like talk, where I kind of like wanted to explore like what does it mean, modern data? And honestly, when I submitted the talk, I was like, I don't even know what it is, and I still don't know what that is. It's totally made that up, but But I kind of like picked a couple other interesting data sources that, you know, like I feel like are more, common these days than it was maybe 10 years ago. So for instance, like, what do you do if you want to import data from Twitter or from Facebook or Instagram or, you know, like Yelp or any of the web services out there? And the short answer is that they all have this protocol called OAuth, which, you know, it's a protocol. I hope that no one has to actually get into, you know, the specifics of the protocol, but there's like great packages that wrap it. The most generic one is HTTR that supports getting information from, OAuth compatible web services. And there's a couple of wrappers like TwitterR, which builds on top of OAuth, which makes things even easier, right? So if we wanted to do that and get, you know, some tweets, and this is like a tricky part of the demo because, you know, this one is actually connecting to the web. So if I have wireless issues, let's see. Well, let me just try really quick to see if I can save this. I don't have connectivity. It's kind of like spotty, but now it comes back. Let's see. Well, let me try. Let's see. But basically, what you would get is, you know, like you have like a couple set of secrets and tokens that each this protocol provides, and you know, like by doing this, you would get the data out, right? And it's, you know, like a bit unfortunate that I'm hitting a couple connectivity issues. For this one, it's going directly to the HTTPR package, you know, and coming back, and hopefully I'll have a little bit more luck with this one. It's always tricky to do demos on Wi-Fi. But what you would get here is you would get the information out from Facebook. And again, like I'm hitting a couple issues that I just tried before for the demo. But I'm going to post these slides online, so you can just pick these and try it out. Like it's pretty straightforward. And in this case, you can see that the error is timeout was reached, right? Which, you know, means that basically we weren't able to hit the Facebook APIs. So there's definitely this piece, and now I want to talk about something a little bit more interesting is what happens when you're working on an organization and you have like all your data is big data, and maybe the data happens to be on Spark. And for this, we have a new package that we announced yesterday. It's called SparkLR, and basically it makes it really easy to connect to Spark. In this case, the demo is going to work because basically I'm using a local cluster, so it's not going out on the web. And basically, what we're doing is connecting to a local cluster, but you could do the same, like connecting to, you know, like a 200 machines outside of your local machine, and you know, whenever you need to bring the data, this would be the type of things that tools that you could use. And there's definitely different approaches once you're dealing with big data. One would be to mostly, connect and be able to sample the data or execute kind of like data remotely. And again, you know, like here I'm just connecting, it finished connecting. And then what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna read some data. In this case, it's in Parquet. So for some those of you doing big data, Parquet is a pretty good, format for storing giant amounts of information. And then I'm just gonna sample it, because a lot of times, you know, even though you have big data, you have the option of executing stuff on the cluster, but also you can bring it into R, right? And just do the usual analysis that you would do, right? So in this case, from a really big table, we brought 5 records. All right, on my last minute, I wanted to touch base on Fedr, which is an awesome tool and package that Hadley developed for the R side. And it's and the interesting thing here, and what I was calling it modern, is mostly because when you're dealing with big systems with a lot of data, it actually becomes important performance. So I'm gonna run 2 tests here. I'm gonna basically just write and read a CSV file. So it's just writing a CSV file locally and then reading it, right? And what Fedr does, it uses a binary file format, which is really fast. So here you can see that it took like almost 4.6 seconds to just read and write this CSV file. And for the same flights data, like if we run it in Fedr, it takes like 0.1 second, right? So it's pretty amazing, pretty crazy. And definitely it helps a lot when you have like a big amount of information and you know you need a way of interpreting between Python and R and alike. Fedr is a great way of doing it. So I hope that this was helpful. I know that it was a lot of information, but definitely if you wanna shoot me questions afterwards, I'll be happy to help. And I think we have time for a couple questions.